Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. The Mickelson Trail runs through the heart of the Black Hills and attracts some 60,000 users annually, including hikers, bikers, and horseback riders. A documentary airing on SDPB-TV tonight tells the story of the development of the Mickelson Trail from the end of its useful life as a rail corridor through the tough legal battles that put the land in public hands to the ongoing work of promoting and maintaining what many call a world-class recreational trail. With us from our studios at the Dahl Arts Center is Guy Edwards of Sturgis. He was an early leader in the development of the trail. And Mr. Edwards, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl.
Also with us is Wayne Winter, Executive Director of the Parks and Wildlife Foundation. The foundation raises funds for the Mickelson Trail. And Mr. Winter, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday as well.
Well, thanks for having us, Carl.
Well, Mr. Edwards, I'll start with you. Take us back to the early 80s when the Burlington Northern Railroad abandoned the line. Was there interest right away in turning the old rail bed into a trail?
Well, actually, there was. Back in 1983, when Burlington ran their last train, the period where you could make comment during that ICC process had communication in it that I read years later, that a group in Rapid City had actually tried to do, very briefly, a conversion of that rail bed to a rail trail. But that group went away after the state indicated they were not in favor of it. The Forest Service indicated they were not in favor of it. So in 1983, during that ICC process, it pretty well stopped at that time.
And it, in watching the documentary Piece of Heaven, which airs this evening, there were a lot of things could have gone wrong in those early days. Even as I understand it, you were pretty much involved early when you were stopped the destruction of the bridges and on that old rail line.
Yeah, there was certainly things that could have gone wrong because in 1986, when I got involved in August 1986, the governor's office was still opposed to it. The Forest Service was still opposed to it. The Burlington Northern certainly had no interest in assisting. So there was not a lot of hope. But at the same time, I saw it as something that should live on. It was so beautiful. You know, it ran down the entire spine of the Black Hills, 110 miles, and it was just a natural trail. So I just decided, hey, I can't stop.
Wayne Winter, when did you get involved with the Mickelson Trail?
Well, I became involved when I became the executive director of the foundation in 2004, relatively late in the game. The trail was already developed. Basically, what our foundation does is we're trying to raise private funds to support the trail, and our main focus right now is trying to repair many of the bridges on the trail. There are 120 bridges or so on the trail, and about 60 of them are on the maintenance schedule. We try to do two or three a year.
I think that a lot of us probably just think that, oh, the trail is done and that's it. Everyone can go out and have fun. But I think that maintenance aspect is kind of overlooked. Is this a message, Wayne Winter, that you think that's important to get out there, that you think you have to get out there, that maybe some people think, like I just said, that once the trail is up, that's it?
Oh, sure. That's a good message for everybody to hear. The Department of Game, Fish, and Parks is actually the owner and manager of the trail, but the repair of the bridges is fairly expensive. It's around $20,000 for each one of the bridges. And so our foundation is trying to raise money through a bridge builder program and in part through the annual trail ride that we help to promote on the trail, the Trail Trek. We're having our 17th annual trek this year. We should have about 600 riders on that. And if we have sufficient money to cover our expenses, whatever is left after that goes into the repair of the bridges as well.
Now, Guy Edwards, this is the Mickelson Trail. What was the late Governor Mickelson's role in getting the trail developed?
Well, in 1986, George was running for governor. And, of course, he had won the primary by that August 1986. So the general election was coming up. I knew George from my time serving in the South Dakota legislature in the winter of 1977 and 78. George was chairman of the Taxation Committee and Speaker of the House, so he and I were friends and or got to be friends during that period of time. So when he was running for governor and I had this big idea about this rail trail and I couldn't get any help from anybody, I knew that January someone was going to be sitting in that office that I might convince to take this trail on. So I got a hold of George probably in September of 86 and sat down with him and explained how important it was. And obviously George is from Brookings, but he loves the Black Hills. And he loved my idea and the idea of my supporters and friends that were all helping me and became a member of Rails to Trails before the general election. After the election, he won the election. January, that following January, I sat in his office and we laid out a plan for the implementation of the trail. At this point, we still had a little problem with the Forest Service, but that was fixed shortly thereafter with a new forest supervisor that came to the Black Hills. But if there was a key figure in this, other than the supporters, if there was a key figure, George Mickelson was it. Now, there was people like previous to Wayne at the foundation, Game Fish and Parks Foundation, was Jack Merwin, a great supporter from early on, even though his boss, the governor, was opposed to it. And then Doug Hofer. Doug Hofer and Dave Johnson from the Game Fish and Parks Department and Pier were absolutely critical to this trail being done. So there were some players in government. And then in the Forest Service, a gentleman by the name of Ray Olilaw was phenomenal for what he did for the trail via the Forest Service in design, development, and funding.
Guy Edwards, how much, going back to those early days, touch on this a little bit, but how much opposition was there to the establishment of this trail?
Well, it'd be almost easier to say, where was there any support? It was that bad. But Dick Lee, my trail partner, and I, you know, we would go to meetings as often as we could, any group we could gather, even if it was the opposition. We would go to Hot Springs or Edgemont or Hill City, and we would meet with opposition landowners and discuss with them. We might have 50 people in a room and all of them yelling at us just to give them the opportunity to vent, and we would have then the opportunity to at least show them what the possibilities were. And we didn't change many minds in those meetings, but at least they had an opportunity to discuss and show their side of the story during those early days in 86.
So what was it that kept you going? Was it just that you saw this as just such a beautiful opportunity that you couldn't let slip away?
Well, that certainly was the case initially. I think there was a little bit of when Jim Mathers from the Forest Service, I had scheduled a meeting with the Forest Service, and as I walked in, he walked out, and I said, I thought we had a meeting, and he just looked at me and walked on. That pretty well upset me, and I decided, you know, this trail was going to get done whether he liked it or not, and we just were perseverant. We had our supporters that helped us maintain, keep our heads up, keep going, and we knew if we held on, we'd have some folks in the Forest Service, we'd have some folks in state government that had the ability to help us.
Well, Wayne Winter, you came on board a little bit later after the trail was already established, but I'm wondering, from your perspective, what is it that makes the Mickelson Trail something special today?
Well, as you may know, it was voted one of the 10 best rail trails in the world here not too long ago. And I just think that it's a long, contiguous trail. It's well maintained. There are services that can be found along the trail. And it really does traverse most of the scenery that you can find in the Black Hills, all the way from the high country around Deadwood, through Mystic, through the all the way through to the lowland prairie into Edgemont. It does really encompass a lot of different types of scenery, and because it's such a long contiguous trail, I think that's what makes it very attractive.
Guy Edwards, are there any other trails quite like this that go through such a scenic area through the hills like this, or like they do through the Black Hills?
Well, Carl, I wish I could answer that other than what I have read or seen. My son and wife were down there riding that trail with the new mountain bikes I gave them, but, you know, unfortunately, it seems like I don't get out there on bicycles. Mm-hmm. I've never been on another rail trail anywhere, and I've only been on this one a couple times. So it's not one of my passions, although being near it, if I drive down one of the highways near that trail, I almost get, spooky spine-feeling things just because I look over there and I see that beautiful trail. And that was enough for me just to do that versus the need to be on it. But it's always gratifying if somebody sees me on the street somewhere and I'm in Rapid City or somewhere. Somebody is always saying, hey, guy, I love that trail. Thank you. You know, if they happen to know my background. I was skiing a week ago in Colorado and riding a chairlift, and some folks were talking about, oh, yeah, we were in South Dakota. We rode the Mickelson Trail last summer. And I says, wow, isn't that a nice trail? And that's generally what I say. Because it is, it's world class, and Wayne and the Game Fish and Parks Foundation, through their efforts, are going to help keep it that way, because as Wayne said, this thing is not cheap, and we have hung the taxpayers with a lot of expenses on this, and fortunately, they're stepping to the plate, they're helping Wayne, Doug Hofer, and the Forest Service maintain what is a top five trail in the country, and they're going to probably keep it that way.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with Guy Edwards. He was an early leader in the development of the Mickelson Trail. Also with us is Wayne Winter, Executive Director of the Parks and Wildlife Foundation. That foundation raises funds for the Mickelson Trail. And a new documentary on the trail called Piece of Heaven airs tonight on SDPB-TV at 8:30 Central and 7:30 Mountain. Wayne Winter, tourism is the biggest industry in the Black Hills. How important is the trail as an economic driver? Do you know what the economic impact is of the trail?
Well, I can't say with hard numbers, but I just think that with the number of users that we have on the trail, I think it certainly is a draw to the state. And certainly, as you mentioned, tourism is the number two industry, I believe, in the state, so it is very, very important. What we would like to do with the trail, I think with the department too, is to expand the trail if we can. There was an extension on the trail from Custer to Custer State Park, 3.5 miles. It was done in 2007. And there is currently in the planning stages and scoping process an extension that is being looked at from the Hill City portion of the trail up to Mount Rushmore National Memorial. And if we can accomplish those types of improvements to the trail, I think it will make it even more attractive. But I don't have any hard data for you, but I do believe that with the number of people that are using the trail, it does have to have an economic impact on the Black Hills and the state of South Dakota.
Last month, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of a Wyoming landowner attempting to keep the U.S. government from extending a trail on an abandoned railroad there running through his family's land. Wayne Winter, do you think this could have any impact on the Mickelson Trail or the future of any other rails to trails in South Dakota?
Well, I can't really speak to that. What I do know is it's a fairly complicated set of laws that are involved. I can say that the facts and circumstances are different between the two cases. The Mickelson Trail is a bit different than the Wyoming case. I think that our Game Fish and Parks Department staff and some of the folks that were around initially when the trail was formed and it was taken to court are pretty confident that right now the Mickelson Trail will continue to exist as is. Like I say, I'm not a professional in it. I just know that it's very complicated, and that's about all I can say.
Yes, and we do have this comment from Douglas Hofer, director of the Division of Parks and Recreation, and He emailed us and said the facts in the recent Supreme Court case regarding railroad right-of-way in Wyoming are not identical to the facts that pertain to the Mickelson Trail. It's been nearly 25 years since the Burlington Northern Railroad donated its interest in Mickelson Trail to the state of South Dakota, and the matter was litigated in South Dakota at that time. He says that we are confident that the Mickelson Trail, as we know it today, will continue in the future. Again, those comments from Douglas Holfer, director of the Division of Parks and Recreation. Looking at that trail, Guy Edwards, I'm wondering if there are certain segments that you particularly liked, favorite parts of the Mickelson Trail.
Well, there are, you know, from north to south, 110 miles. Each geography is different. It's all spectacular. When I think about a spot, the tunnels near Mystic probably stand out a bit because of the drama of going through a tunnel on a bicycle or walking. And just to show how things change over time with the correct people in position, after Mr. Mathers left, we had a gentleman take the forest over. His name was Darrell Knops, who became a very, very big supporter of the trail, did everything he could for us, and found funding and things like gravel. I mean, we needed gravel. Darrell Knops could find gravel, him and Ray Olila, and the trail used a lot of gravel. But it was interesting because Darrell asked me if I would speak to the forest supervisors of the region, and he arranged for a meeting inside a tunnel at Mystic. So I was a guest speaker to talk about trail development and processes and things like that, as if I was I certainly was no expert. I just had one experience. So I spoke to about 25 Forest Service supervisors in the trail tunnel at Mystic. And that was quite a nice experience to have something do a 360-degree turn on an issue and come out on the right side of it. And the Forest Service really was on the right side of this trail in the end. And it was amazing to see that transformation.
You talk about transformation early on, Rick, in the early 80s when Governor Janklow was governor, not in favor of the trail, but as I understand it, when he was governor again in the 90s, that he was a supporter of the trail?
Certainly was, and I never talked to him about it after that point in time. The occasion never rose to talk about it, but Doug Holfer dealt with him regularly. And one of the things Doug told me right after Janklow was elected, after Walter Miller finished out Mickelson's term and Janklow became the next governor, he told Doug Holfer, he says, "I don't care what it takes. I want that trail done, and I want it done right." So not only did the Forest Service come around, but obviously Governor Janklow took a huge initiative to support the Game Fish and Parks, support the Game Fish and Parks Foundation and others to get that trail done. And I know he worked not only telling Doug Holfer to help, but I know that Bill Janklow did some other things to help as well.
We have another question here about the possibility of expanding the trail so it connects with the Rapid City Airport. Just wondering, Wayne Winter, if you think something like that would be a good idea?
Well, I'm not sure. I guess I haven't seen the proposal. Certainly, I think that any kind of expansion of the trail would probably be utilized. Probably there are some other higher priority areas that would certainly maybe take precedence over that particular one, I guess, in my mind. But extensions of the trail would certainly be taken into consideration.
Well, Guy Edwards, finally, looking at your initial vision of the Mickelson Trail and looking at it today, do you think it has lived up to that promise that you saw?
Well, yeah, there's no question, Carl, that this thing has done it all. It's as beautiful as anybody could have envisioned. The way it's been managed has been phenomenal, the way it looks, the way it's maintained. The effort they make, if there's a windstorm and trees get knocked down, they're up there just taking care of it right away. That trail is in perfect order all the time, and it's just great to see. You know, there's still people working today every day on this project, citizens that help every day, and I see them occasionally. And I here at the Dahl Center, I see a couple of names on a donation board here of some of our great supporters on that trail. And one of the key people on this fundraising side of it and management side from the private side early on was Dave Snyder out of Pier, who contributed a huge amount himself personally, but then he got involved in meeting after meeting after meeting to make this trail happen. So you had the Dave Snyder types and Kenny Kingsman and Steve Zelmers, and we had people from Aberdeen coming out to help and Sioux Falls. So it's still going, and those names of those people are still there after now it's almost 28 years this August since we started the project, and some of those same people are still involved today.